Ready to rock and roll? Okay.
Let's do it.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another Barnes Bullet Points podcast. I'm your host, Dale Evans, and today we've got a fun podcast for you. We're going to talk about the Barnes Reserve. On the podcast today, I've got to my right, Andy Sparks, to my left, Mitchell Cookson, and further to my left, Greg Sloan. You guys doing good?
Yeah.
Doing great.
Yeah. Can we start this podcast discussing the issue of the microphones, please?
Sure.
We have seen the comments, heard the feedback.
We have.
And we're fixing it.
I'm going to give you some instant feedback.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes, we have heard about the mic stands. We ordered mic stands. They got here, and we figured out we could not get these cables out of these said mic stands. So we'll have to order some of those.
Yeah.
So people have to put up for this for just a little bit longer in podcast until we can get some in.
But it's coming.
But it's coming.
Thank you.
So, good? Yep. Did that address what you needed to address?
Yes.
You're happy? Okay. Let's talk about what we're actually here to talk about today. And that is this cool little box. The Barnes Reserve line. This was Andy's idea from the get-go.
Okay.
Not so much.
No, I think it's great. I think, well, we'll get into, I think, listening to the consumer, the viewer, right?
Absolutely.
And how this came up. But I think this is a fantastic offering. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah. So launching today is the Barnes Reserve line. This is going to be direct to consumer, right? It's only going to be available on our website. Mm-hmm. We're not making massive runs, but we will be making runs periodically throughout the year of this, right? And when we're making runs, we're going to make anywhere from 500 to 1,000 rounds per run. Initial launches will be 500 to 600 rounds, kind of just gauge the audience, and then kind of go from there. So with that,
I'll do a spoiler alert. We are not doing the 6.8 Western.
Okay. You just broke a lot of people's heart, and now everybody just turned off our podcast.
I think that's a little bit of fake news there.
Yeah, it is fake news. We are doing 6.8 Western. I was actually about to turn it over to Greg to talk about our six offerings, initial offerings, right? Like we could be expanding this. What's cool about this, and I like to preface it before, right, is we were able to listen to the consumer over the past 6 months to a year, right? And kind of understand what people are looking for mm-hmm. that isn't readily available in, I dare to say, factory loaded ammo, right? Because this is very premium hand loaded ammo in, you know, by our ballistics lab experts, right?
Right.
So we were able to listen to that. We were able to quickly shift and make something like this happen. I mean, to be honest, right, this came together 3 or 4 months, right?
Yeah, when
we finally decided to kind of make a move.
Yeah, you guys got to quit doing that. That's not really cool.
Yeah, coming from the product guy to our left right here, he's like, hey, you just made my timeline crazy tight. So, yeah, Greg, do you want to jump into the six initial offerings that we're going to have in the reserve line?
Yeah, will do. So, initially, like I said, six offerings, starting with 257 Weatherby.
Yeah.
We're going to load the 101 grain LRX.
Yeah.
So that one's pretty exciting. You know, and we can go deeper into each one of these. But if you're a Weatherby guy, you know, an open country, a pronghorn shooter, if you lived out west, 257 Weatherby comes to, you know, I mean, top of the list as far as ultra fast, flat shooting, just a cool cartridge.
Right.
Something that, you know, pairs well with the Barnes bullet and something we've always wanted to offer.
Yep.
You know, we've had requests for it for many years and it just made sense in this line. So 257 Weatherby 101 grain LRX. This next one I'm pretty excited about personally.
Yeah.
6.5 284 Norma.
Mm-hmm.
So it's awesome cartridge. We've talked about that before. I may have mentioned that a time or two on this podcast. One of my personal favorites, 127 grain LRX, you know, natural choice, good BC, good accuracy, good bullet performance. And then, like you said, 6'8 Western.
Yeah.
So we
can
will
do the clap thing.
Yeah.
There I think I can. Let me find it. 6'8 Western. Woo woo.
Yeah, I told Mitchell he needed to get up and do a dance when we announced it.
I can't. I'm camera shy.
We all know.
So, but yeah, anyone who's followed any bit of Barnes social may have noticed that there's been some consumer requests for 6'8 Western ammo.
Yeah.
Over the last year,
they were pretty loud.
Yeah. So 155 grain LRX will be offered in the reserve line in 6'8 Western. So that one's pretty awesome. And then we have a few that are actually pretty neat. You don't hear a ton about anymore. Great cartridges, not a lot of factory ammo support.
Yep. And
so we're going to be loading the 7 SOM mm-hmm. with the 145 grain LRX and the 300 SOM with the 175 grain LRX. So both excellent cartridges, been around a long time. Kind of a cult following.
Right.
Definitely popular with precision shooters, hand loaders, custom rifle guys. But now we've got a good option for ammunition. Guys that don't hand load or don't want to hand load or don't have time to hand load can now get ultra premium, excellent performance with the reserve in both the 7 and the 300 SOMs.
Yep.
And then the last one is pretty exciting, and I am excited to go into some in-depth discussion on it. But the 300 WISM loaded to a non-SAMI spec overall length and requiring a 1-8 twist with the 212 grain Bore Rider LRX.
Are we going to officially call this like the 300 Super WISM just to kind of, go with the Vortex guys since they were the ones that really kind of introduced, quote unquote, right, air quotes, of introducing this type of cartridge?
Yeah, I think it'll be mentioned on the website description. Yeah. It will be, we'll follow the SAMI description of 300 WISM, the 300 WSM. But in the website description, we'll have mention of the Super WISM,
right?
That came from the Vortex Nation guys. So pretty awesome. That 212 grain Bore Rider gives just unreal performance.
Yeah.
I mean, stupid high BC, bullet expands at really low velocity, great accuracy. So like I said, we're excited to talk about that one in depth later on. But that's the 6 that we're going to initially launch with. And like I said, there's some pretty niche stuff, some exciting stuff. It gives us the option to go outside of the norm or outside of even SAMI spec, like with the 212 grain Bore Rider and the 300 WISM. And, from a ballistic nut, ballistic guru, nerd guy like me, some of these are pretty cool because they're cartridges that don't always make the cut.
Right.
When we look at it from a business case perspective, we have to factor in, margins, and it has to be profitable. Obviously, we have to stay in business. There's cost of development and tooling and components and tooling up for a cartridge on an ammo loader.
Right.
And that's one of the cool things with the reserve. It gives us the option to hand load that ultra premium components in the ballistics lab, but kind of give some of these niche and unique SKUs that we wouldn't always be able to justify in a full factory loaded, round, say like in Vortex or Vortex LR.
Right. Well, and I guess that's kind of where I was going to go was like, to me, that's why we wanted to go direct to consumer. Right. And kind of go, or do these in, I hate to say small batches, right? But make it where it's not these huge runs of 100,000 parts or something like that, making it readily available across the country in major retailers or independent retailers or anything like that, right? Like that's why we want to be able to sell this on the website. It helps us to be able to offer something to the consumer that they need and that they're wanting, right? That we hear about constantly. But we don't have to go giant, if you will, and wait another year or more to be able to make that available to the consumer. Like this is something that we can make really quick. It's a first for Barnes, right? Is doing something like this. So I think that's pretty exciting. You were going to say something.
I was going to ask Mitchell what his favorite caliber was that we're loading. Like of all of the 6, what are you most excited about?
I think the 300 Super WISM is pretty dang cool. Big fan of the Bore Rider. And when you look at innovation in our industry, sometimes you're gaining minimal performances. But this is truly innovative. It's with the Bore Rider design, the way it works is super cool. And you really do gain a lot of advantage of using it and keeping the monolithic design. And I want to get it to more people so they don't have to hand load it. They can just buy it And I'm hoping it'll take off and then I can do maybe a 7 or a 338 or something cool and keep the boar rider line going.
Yeah.
And do more. So that's what I'm excited about.
Nice. Greg, we've talked about Vortex Nation and the boar rider thing. Like, I don't know if we've touched on it in a podcast yet, but just talk briefly about like what we're talking about with Vortex.
Yeah. So it kind of started, it started early 2024 at the Western Hunt Expo. I did a podcast with the Vortex Nation guys, and it was just about Barnes in general. You know, Barnes as a company, some of our copper bullet offerings, our ammo offerings. And at that time, you know, the 212 grain Boar Rider LRX existed. It was in the marketplace as a component bullet to hand load. But, you know, there wasn't a ton of information out there. We hadn't covered it really on the marketing side. You know, it is very unique. You know, you literally have to pretty much go build a rifle around this projectile.
Right.
You know, that's kind of the perspective of it. But when we did that podcast, I knew that Mark Boardman was a big 300 WISM fan. And so it came up kind of just naturally in passing almost during that conversation.
Yeah.
We were sitting there talking about 300 WISM and I just made mention of it. I was like, hey, you're a 300 WISM guy. Guess what? Here's a really cool thing. You know, and I brought up the 212 grain boar rider and he wasn't aware of it at that time. And it kind of just sparked some interest. We didn't really discuss it in depth in that podcast, but that kind of, I think, planted the seed to get it started. And really they took it from there. You know, they reached out, Ryan and Mark, a few times with some questions asking about the bullet. And they had this idea, hey, what's, you know, I explained to them kind of the history of the bullet and what it takes to launch it effectively. And, you know, really, I can go into the history of the boar rider bullet here and kind of what we'd done in-house to shoot it and how we landed on the 300 WISM as kind of the ideal case to launch that bullet. But really, the Vortex guys took it. They did a whole video series and podcast series around it with the 300 Super WISM. They did a whole rifle build around the bullet and the cartridge. They've got some cool videos and some cool podcasts. Their goal was, can we go build the ultimate long-range hunting rifle? And so they actually got with the rifle builder. They got an action. They got a barrel. They got a stock. You know, they worked up a load. They got some 212 bore riders. You know, they shot gel. They did some accuracy work, load development, did some work in their indoor range, and also went out to long range and shot gel at long range. You know, and they did follow up with the video as well. They had some issues with some of the clear gel and realizing that it wasn't a valid test medium. And so they'd ended up using ordnance grade ballistics gel. And in the end, they ended up shooting gel at over 900 yards.
Wow.
With this, got bullet expansion, great accuracy throughout the whole thing at close and long range. And so they've been big fans. I know since then there's been a few guys at the Vortex optics company, you know, that have built rifles themselves. A few gun builders have reached out. I know I talked to plenty of consumers at the trade shows this past year that got excited when they heard about the 300 Super WISM and the 212.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen it on the sales side of our component bullet,
you
know, where that interest has really peaked. And what makes it neat for Reserve is, and one of the reasons we really were excited to offer it and we wanted to have it be one of these initial six, was it gives a guy who either isn't a hand loader or maybe doesn't want a hand loader, doesn't have time to hand load, the option to go out and say, hey, I'm going to build a 300 Super WISM. You know, I'm going to have a rifle built or I'm going to build a rifle. You know, it does require a 1-8 twist, you know, so it is a SAMI spec 300 WISM chamber.
Yeah.
But ideally to be able to mag feed it, you want to build it on a long action and it requires a 1-8 twist to stabilize. And so it's really, you know, it's more of a custom cartridge with that bullet, just the way it's configured. You know, as you can see, it's long.
Yeah.
You know, that's not your typical 300 WISM. You know, this is a 300 SOM.
Right.
Which is fairly close to a WISM. You know, as you can see there, pretty close in case, but
yeah,
a little bit different with the 212 bore rider. And like I said, we'll go into detail some of the design characteristics and what went into engineering. But that's really where it started on the Vortex Nation side, is they did this whole video series and podcast series around it, building the ultimate long-range hunting rifle.
And it's they did a great job on it, right?
Awesome.
So if you guys are curious about it at all, go look up the Vortex Nation stuff. They did a great job on all that.
Yeah. No, absolutely. All right. where do we want to start? Do we want to start with the cartridges, or do we want to start with the box that we decided to put this thing in?
Let's do the box. I feel like
okay,
we can go through that quickly.
So with that, right, like we wanted to, I mean, since this is going to be something completely new, right, we wanted to do something different. So we got these boxes made. Obviously, you see the Barnes, you know, famous blue right there on top. It also has Barnes across the top. And then also, you know, opens up. It's basically just like you would have if you were a hand loader. So that was kind of our thought process, right, is that it kind of gives you something that isn't just, I hate to say throwaway, right, with the regular cardboard boxes that most all consumers are giving these days. So we wanted to give something a little bit different, again, make it customizable and our own for the Reserve line. So that's really cool. As you see here, you can see the Reserve if you're watching. I'm actually just planning to put this video on Spotify and Apple and all that type of stuff so everybody can watch it. But grab this one right here. And the whole reason for that is on the back, right, it's got the Barnes Reserve. This one is 6.8 Western, 155 grain LRX. You're going to have all your ballistics back there. As well as hand loaded by, and you'll have a signature of who hand loaded this. For example, this was Chris in the lab. It's got your G1 and your G7BC right there. So pretty dang impressive. Again, super fast turnaround, right? I mean, this all kind of came to fruition in the past, I want to call it 3 months. It might even be less than that, to be honest.
Yeah, it was pretty quick, you know, and that, just staying on the box, I think it's a pretty cool idea. I'm excited about it. Like you said, it makes it very usable.
Right.
You know, it's what you'd use as a hand loader.
Yep.
You know, something you can keep, something you can reuse.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty dang user-friendly. I'm happy with where we ended up versus our standard cardboard box,
right,
which us and everyone else in the industry uses. They're kind of hard to open. You got to get your fingers in there. Yeah. And, but then if you're hunting and your pack gets wet, gets rained on, gets snowed on, you get a soggy ammo box, that kind of sucks. This certainly isn't waterproof, but I'd say it's water resistant.
Right.
You can get a little bit of moisture in there. It's not going to fall apart on you. And I really like it. I think it's pretty dang user friendly. And like I said, when you're reloading and doing stuff like that, you usually get a box like that anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Greg, what caliber are you most excited about, or what cartridge? You can't say Super Wisdom.
Yeah, I can't say it. Well, that's easy if you take it away from me, because probably the 6.5 284 Norma.
Yeah, I kind of figured you were going to say that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Why? Let's reiterate why.
Yeah, it's been a favorite of mine for many years. When I first, because I've talked about this, I've been a ballistic, you know, fanatic for quite some time. And I think when you go down that road as a hand loader, you know, you get into rifles. You know, I'm a big gun guy. Kind of the next step generally is more of a custom rifle or semi-custom build.
Yeah.
And many years ago, that was my first attempt at somewhat of a semi-custom build, was a 6.5 284. I purchased a Savage, actually. That's what I could afford at the time. Not many guys go think to build a custom rifle off a Savage, but it worked. It was a good action, and it was a long action. It was actually a 270 Win, and I'll poke fun at Dale a little bit. The best thing you can do with a 270 Win is rip the barrel off of it and build it into a 6.5 284 Norma. Okay. So
hold on a second. Now you tell me that after we just ripped the barrel off of my 270 and built a 280 AI?
Well, you can do that too. That's another good choice. Okay. We already offer 280 Ackley and the Vortex LR, so it's not in Reserve.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's another. I've done that too. No, I like 270 Win.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah. It's all good. But yeah, it's a great design. 6.5 PRC, as you guys know, is crazy popular.
Right.
You know, everyone seems like a few years ago, big, huge 6.5 PRC craze. Seems like everyone's shooting them, hunting with them. You're seeing it all over. To me, the 6.5 284 Norma does everything a 6.5 PRC does, and it's been around for, you know, 20 plus years as a wildcat.
Yeah.
It was really popular for many years, F-class shooters, 1,000-yard bench rest guys. It's proven that it can just hold, you know, great accuracy. It has good characteristics as a cartridge design. And I've always, like I said, all the way back to when I first built that semi-custom, I got a shill and barrel, put a new trigger, a new stock, and built up this rifle. And it was kind of my go-to long-range hunting rifle for many years.
That's the rifle you talked about on the podcast with Alan, right? When you met Alan, were you shooting the 6.5 284?
I did when I first met him. Yeah,
that's right.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and we also discussed the 6.5 by 47 as well. But when I first met Alan, you're right, at that time, the very first time I met him, it was my first ever competition.
Okay.
And I didn't have a true competition rifle. You know, I had this semi-custom, more long-range hunting rifle.
So is that when he started mentoring you? That was the first time, and it continued to this day?
Something like that. Yeah.
You were already conceived by that point, correct?
Depends on the year, I guess.
That's good. Yes, very good point. Mitchell was in grade school back then, and...
So that's how you got to work here, right? Like you were just kind of, Alan mentored Greg or what, vice versa. Then you got mentored by your dad.
Yeah, there's some serious nepotism at Barnes. Everyone's related.
That's actually not far from the truth, but in this case, not actually true.
We're not blood related, but.
But you wish you were.
In spirit. Yeah.
In spirit.
Nice. Close enough.
Nice. What's your favorite? What's your favorite cartridge?
I'm going to pick 257 Weatherby.
Why?
I've always been infatuated with one. I've never owned one before. Basically, it gave me a reason to get a 257 Weatherby. I will say that. But, you know, I go back to, everybody says it was Roy's favorite, right? It was kind of one of his first really Wildcat Weatherby cartridges, right? So it's so fast. It's so flat shooting. You know, we've hinted at it a few times throughout the podcast as we were testing this and getting ready for launch and everything. Just how damn accurate it is. How, for example, mine right now, I've got it zeroed at 300 yards and I basically have hardly any holdover out to 500 yards. And then anything 300 and in is like an inch high.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, which I think is worth noting and discussing. You know, like in today's world, and I fall right in there, we have technology of optics, rangefinders, you know, adjustable turrets, exposed turrets with zero stops, you know, turrets cut in yardage with custom, dials cut to your ballistics, all these things that make it easier to shoot long range. But if you really take a step back and look at it, something like the 257 Weatherby and this 101 LRX, it kind of takes that all away. Like you don't have to have that.
Right.
You know, you can just, it keeps it simple. You have a 300 yard zero. It's so fast and flat shooting. You're not some crazy high point of impact at say mid, like 150 yards.
Right.
And like you brought up at 400, 450, you're probably holding on its back.
Right.
You know,
if that, I mean, I think that between going from 300 to 425 or something like that, it's like less than 6 inches, like of dropping even further. And then going out to 500, I think it's like 12. I mean, it's pretty dang impressive. Hmm. What are you smirking about?
Just daydreaming.
that was Mitchell getting lively. He smiled.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We were actually talking about it today, right? It's kind of interesting to go back to some of these quote older cartridges, right? Because you look at the 257 Weatherby was designed in 1944, right? And released in 1945. So, I mean, you know, it's 80 years old at this point. And it takes a lot of powder to get that thing that fast, right? I mean, it's pushing that 101 LRX out of a 26 inch barrel. 3,500 foot per second. I mean, it's cruising.
Yeah.
Out of mine, I'm getting 3425, 3430, something like that. And 24
inch barrel.
Yeah. On a 24 inch barrel, right?
Right.
And then with that, right, like I've basically been talked into, I have to take it on my sheep hunt as well. Okay. So it's kind of near and dear to my heart. Like I said, I've wanted one for a really, really long time. Never had the reason because again, I looked at it and I was like, there were two other people that were making it factory loaded and that's Hornady and Weatherby, obviously. Weatherby loads the 100 grain TTSX in it,
right?
Where we're having the 101 grain LRX. And I looked at it and I was just like, well, I either have to order ammo because you can't hardly find it on the shelf anywhere, or I'm going to hand load this. And I really didn't want to have to do that because then you got to go through the whole process of getting brass and blah, blah, blah. So this gave me the reason to get that.
Nice.
Okay. What are you most excited about?
I think you know. No, it's got to be the 6.8 Western.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, my goodness. Like, the amount of flack that we have caught on social media for the last year has just been relentless.
Do you consider it flack constant asking?
Yeah, yeah. Not a flack. Wrong word. Yeah. Wrong word. I would just say engagement.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Level of engagement.
I loved it.
On the 6.8 Western. It's just like every time we post.
Yeah.
Where's the 6.8, right? It'd be great if you could load a 6.8. We need 6.8. Barnes is like right there, should have a 6.8.
Well, and kind of with that, right, you briefly hit on it. And I do want to do kind of a little bit deeper dive, even though we're kind of doing it by asking, you know, different ones. But we did load the 155 grain LRX, right? With that, a lot of engagement, as you're referring to, a lot of people are asking for heavier in that 6.8. Why did we want to use the 155 versus trying to develop a heavier bullet for it?
So the 155 is the heavier bullet.
Yeah.
Designed for the 6.8 Western. So before we had, what's our heaviest bullet? A 140 TSX?
Yeah, TSX. Yeah, the 140. In a tipped, it'd be the 130. Mm-hmm. And then we have a 129 LRX.
Yeah.
Right. So that's in a standard 1-in-10 twist. They'll stabilize. 6.8 Western, increase the twist rate. They are a 1-in-8.5
I think it is.
I can't remember.
Seven.
It's not seven.
It's 7.5 is standard.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, fact checker.
I don't think you're right.
Somebody's buying lunch.
Oh my God. Uh-oh. Typing problems. Bear with us here.
But the 155 is the heaviest we can go in the standard twist rate for 6.8 Western. So I know everyone wants a 180. Well, you can't do that with a copper bullet. You have a hollow cavity in there. Copper's less dense. Better not be. I think it's...
Final answers. Come on.
It's 8.5.
7.5.
It says 1-in-8 or 1-in-7.5.
They don't know.
That's what AI says. So it says Browning, this is kind of funny to me. It says Browning is a 1-in-7.5 and a Winchester is a 1-in-8.
Yeah.
Okay. But they're both made out of the same.
So Browning usually goes faster on their twist rates, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Really appreciative of that. But we went to the same standard because you got to make it work.
Yeah. Right.
So did we evaluate different bullet weights for the 6.8?
Well, again, it goes back to, it's like, we really couldn't go heavier like everybody wanted.
Yeah.
You could. We could make a flat-based turd, as we call it, flat-based TSX with a blunt ogive and make everyone happy and make a 160, I don't know, 165 grain TSX, but it have a BC of a football. So
and
sometimes
it'd be good out to 200 yards. And it's like, well,
and you defeat the purpose. Exactly. So
yeah.
If you want to go sleek, if you want to have a long boat tail and a sleek ogive, you actually generally have to be lighter to get those features. It hurts your stability, so you can't go as heavy.
Right.
So 155 is kind of the sweet spot we found. Anything more, it's not going to stabilize at standard conditions, cold. So in a copper bullet, it's less dense. You got the hollow cavity, you got the polymer tip. And that's as heavy as we can go, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I think to put it kind of in like plain terms, look at it this way. It is 1-in-8, by the way, Sammy, spec, standard. But like you said, Browning does chamber rifles in 7.5.
Yeah.
But the 270 Winchester and the 270 WSM, they're 1-in-10 twist. So you really got to look at it as previous to the 6.8 Western, 270 Win that's been around forever, 270 Wisdom that's been around for, 20 plus years. They both are a 1-in-10. So you're limited in a copper bullet. And especially in LRX design, that 129 was the heaviest we could go. So the 6.8 Western allowed us, like Mitchell said, to build a 155. You cannot stabilize the 155 LRX in a standard 1-10, 270 win or right. 270 WISM.
Yeah.
So that's really the advantage, right? The 6.8 Western is that modern 270 with a fast twist, shorter case that allows you to seat longer, heavier, higher BC bullets, still mag feed them. And the 155 is an excellent projectile.
Here's a fun question for you. Jack O'Connor was still around and hunting sheep. Would he shoot a 6.8 Western or 270?
Probably still stick with the 270 is what I'm going to say.
Speed?
Yeah, and just it's just that. I don't know. I guess it's hard to take somebody back then and try to put them in a modern...
Modern mindset.
Mindset, but I don't know. That's a...
It's an interesting thought, right? Like, to go to a 130 versus a 155, like... Anyway, sorry. I would love for you to hear, what again, or deeper, why you love the 6.8 or wanted to release the 6.8.
Oh, I think it's a consumer need.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, to me, it's simple, right? Like, being the ballistic nut that I am, right? I'd leave you guys to kind of handle all that. But, like, to me, it's bringing the consumer what they want, right?
Right.
Like, yeah. What they're asking for. And for sure, we had comments about, you know, are you going to expand your bore rider line? Are you going to offer this or offer that? And we always get one-off, right, suggestions, and people call Alan, and, you know, we go through that every week, you know, what's being asked for. But, like, it's 6.8 Western, and there's not a close second,
right?
Right, in reality.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it because I want you all to put your money where your mouth is and go buy the 6.8 Western from the reserve line.
Yeah,
right. That's why I'm really excited about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, just going back to like Mitchell mentioned, but the 155 was designed from the ground up for the 6.8 Western.
Right.
Right. The bullet existed, you know, for Barnes before we ever loaded it in ammo. And this reserve line just gives us the opportunity to load it.
I am going to defend myself. The 277 Sig Fury was an 8.5.
We're still doing this.
We're going back to that. Huh?
Okay. We're going back.
Okay.
And we said that cartridge is dumb, and we're going to optimize it for a 6.8 Western because it's a faster twist rate, too. If yeah. we would have went with the 8.5 and made it work for both, it would have been like a 150 grain, and then people really would have been pissed.
Yeah.
So you kind of, unfortunately, you kind of got to pick and choose where you optimize it. So we listened to the consumer and went as heavy as we could in the 6.8.
No, but well, I thought your description and your explanation of the 155 was spot on, right? Because like, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't always know everything that goes into a bullet, right? Like, and then you start talking about ogives and tips, and like, you only have so much space, right? So much length to mm-hmm. make weight in, right? So there's give and take all over the place. And so when you talk about why not a heavier bullet for the 6.8, it's like, because then, you know, it doesn't accomplish what you're trying to get it to accomplish, right? Cool. So I thought that was a really good explanation.
And I would also caveat, right? Like, there's really only two other factory loads available, or at least manufacturers that are making, you know, readily available 6.8 Western loads. And I think that's part of the reason why we needed to develop it as well, right? And there's nothing that offers a Barnes bullet in it right now as right. well, right? Like, that's kind of where I get, you know, you look at some other manufacturers, go back to like Weatherby, right? They load a lot of our stuff. So people might ask like, well, why didn't you load a 6.5 RPM or something like that? Well, if you look at it, they already have an LRX in it. Why would right. we go load the exact same load? So that's why we wanted to do 257 versus, you know, 6.5 or whatever, 6.5 by 300 or something like that, right? So sorry, I just kind of wanted to caveat that
yeah.
is that, you know, we want to give people as many options as we can. And by doing the reserve line in these loads where it might not be readily available and by other manufacturers, this gives you that option.
Yeah. And I think it's safe to say, right, with the reserve line, I think the reserve line, you guys can disagree. I see it as kind of an evergreen thing, right?
Right.
So like, depending on trends and sales and all that, some things may come, some things may go. Like, you never know, you know, what we're going to add or take away at any point in time. So that's kind of the right. nice thing about it as well, is it's this, you know, evergreen living thing that like can morph with.
Right. I would also like to try to say that, you know, we would give people heads up that like we are going to discontinue something
yeah.
before it happens versus like all of a sudden we pull, let's say, you know, there's somebody out there that wants 7 SOM and they love it and they just
yeah.
keep buying it.
Yeah.
But they're only one of, you know, 15 people that are actually buying it, right? Yeah. And well, then we decide to discontinue it in a year and a half or something like that.
Yeah, and hopefully we're just adding to it, right?
100%.
You're not taking away. And that's one, to Andy's point, that's one neat thing about this line. It is more that custom shop. I mean, like you already mentioned, it's hand-loaded.
Right.
You know, ultra-premium components.
Yeah, I mean, and really we haven't even dove super deep into like what's going behind the reserve line, right? Why this isn't truly, you know, we're not calling it factory loaded ammo, right? This is hand loaded ammo. So Greg, do you want to go into that a little bit deeper?
Yeah, we can. First, real quick, they'll just kind of finish that thought. I think you mentioned like 7 Psalm, you know, the neat thing there is Andy brought up the 6.8 Western was consumer driven, you know, it let us know. I mean, with the reserve line, it gives us more flexibility. You know, if there's a bunch of 7 Psalm shooters out there that want to see a 160 grain LRX and they've got fast twist guns.
Yeah.
You know, that's something we could turn on pretty quick in the reserve line.
Right.
That is not so easily done in say like Vortex or Vortex LR.
Right.
Yeah. We'd love to hear what the consumer wants now that they know this is available. What's next? Can we do a, I told Greg this morning, we should do a 300 Win Mag 208 grain LRX that needs a 8.5 twist. But that's something we could add. And now that the consumer and audience knows that they can bully Andy into making decisions, we want to hear what you guys want. Well, and maybe we'll do it.
But it takes 8 to 12 months. Yes. Right. Like, it's going to be a while.
Right. It can't just happen tomorrow.
Right.
But there's those times, like, you know, you mentioned Browning is doing cool things on the rifle side where they're building fast twist standard cartridges. You know, they build a 1-7 twist 270 Win. They do a 1-8 twist 300 Win Mag, you know, 208 grain LRX. I mentioned that. I mean, I built a 300 Win Mag custom rifle to shoot that bullet with a 1-8 twist.
Quick question. Do you think that they do that the same reason that Weatherby uses a 1-10 twist 300 PRC?
I think they're actually just paying attention.
You think so?
I think so. I think they
don't
got,
think they're just using the exact same barrel they're using?
Because they're going out of their way to go outside of the norm. You know,
it's
where
the opposite,
right? It's kind of the opposite where instead of having a bunch of 1-10 twist 30 cal blanks, where it's like, hey, 300 PRC should be a 1-8 or 1-8.5, but we're going to do it in a 1-10 because all of our other 30 cal magnums are 1-10.
Yeah.
You know, Browning's going out of their way to say, we're going to stock and build conventional, you know, standard cartridges, 270 Win, 300 Win Mag, you know, and others, but we're going to do it in ultra fast twist barrels that nobody else is offering in a factory rifle.
Yeah.
So okay.
Like Greg said, 270 is a 1-7.
Yeah.
So we could load that 155. So if you guys want that, let us know.
Maybe.
It may be a little slow, but you'd get a super high BC. It'd be kind of cool.
Maybe a 270 bore rider.
Oh.
Could we name it some cool cartridge as well?
The 270 Super Connor. See,
that's what Jack O'Connor would shoot.
Exactly. 270 O'Connor, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
A 1-7 might do it. With the bore riders, everyone's asking for them. I can't. And standard twist rates, it's hard, but when you have a super fast, that's when you make it possible. Then that's the challenge. So, again, we got to hear you guys' feedback, and maybe we'll do a 270 bore rider.
There you go.
I'll write it down.
You write it down, and I'll answer Dale's question now, or I'll go into that.
Can I do one more little product drop real quick that we haven't really talked about? So with that we are listening to consumer feedback, a lot of people have been asking for the 152 grain, right? That's in the 280 AI. That's coming as well. Little tidbit that if you listen to the podcast, you get something before everybody else does.
Yep.
That's going to be available August 15th, correct?
Sure. I think, when are you airing this?
Friday
this week.
Yeah, this goes this, you know, like when the launch is.
Day.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So it's 4 days.
August 15th. I'll sign up for it. It'll be in stock on the website by August 15th. If it's not, you can send some hate mail.
As a component.
Yes.
Yeah, and I know that has nothing to do with reserve, but I'm super stoked about that.
Yeah, I mean, again, I just wanted to do that because instead of us doing a certain little podcast for that drop, right? Like this gives... Obviously, we'll put something out on social and all that type of stuff on the 15th to say that it's available, but podcast listeners get a little nugget of information.
Yep, the 284.
You're making a note that you have to make sure that's ready.
Officially,
I think I have an email. Yeah.
152 LRX component bullet.
Yeah.
Which will be cool.
Super cool. And it shoots lights out in our loaded ammo too.
Yeah.
Got to test that in that new 280 AI that apparently I was supposed to make a 6.5 284, but didn't know that until
you need just both.
Now. Oh, okay. Got it.
You're covered.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Greg, back. Sorry.
No, you're good. So covering reserve, you know, what makes it unique from a loading perspective? We've made quick mention, but just go into detail of that. So this is not factory loaded on, you know, loading machines, right? We have, you know, and we obviously have high quality premium ammunition across the board.
Right.
You know, our Vortex LR, we hold ourselves to tight standards. We have premium equipment. But having said all that, when you hand load ammunition, you know, you can control it that much more.
Right.
You're removing all those variables and factors of, you know, mass produced factory loaded ammunition. You know, this is one off hand loaded, you know, a very skilled, trained, experienced lab technician.
So what would you say is the average years of experience of our lab techs?
15 years. That's the average.
Of working here.
Yeah, of working here.
And then they probably have hand loading, reloading experience well beyond that.
Right, and that's a guy that's worked here 15 plus years that, you know, at least 40 hours a week, that's what he does. He hand loads ammunition.
And test ammunition.
And tests ammunition, shoots it in the water tank, shoots it for accuracy, shoots it for gel, works up custom loads, tests our bullets at different velocities. You know, he does a ton of tweaking, very specific hand loading. But I mean, the experience, these are guys that shoot low data for the reloading manuals for the website.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not just, you know, not to pick on a floor operator, but this is a highly skilled, highly trained, very experienced lab technician that's hand loading the reserve ammo.
Yeah.
Average of 15 years.
Average of 15 years experience.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, they take it serious, right? Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of pride, and there is no matter what in the Barnes product. We've talked about that. The culture here across the board, the floor operators, the guys running the machines, you know, people packaging the ammo, it goes across the board. There's a lot of engagement. There's a lot of enthusiasm. But when you've got a lab guy, they are super critical, very experienced, hand loading this ammunition, gauging every round. And on the load development side, the cool thing too is we always try to use the components that make the most sense and achieve our criteria, right? We have tight standards. We have high accuracy criteria. We look at good velocity, low standard deviation. We want to use premium components. But the reserve line allows us to, you know, a little bit take the reins off.
Yeah.
You know, there's always sourcing limitations of, hey, we would want to use powder A, but we can't get enough of it to build 250,000 rounds of this.
Right.
You know, okay, but if we're only going to build 5,000 rounds of this or whatever it be, that changes it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, there's propellants that they're a struggle to build on loading machines, you know, to get them to meter consistently. Big, huge extruded stick powders that they just don't work well in factory loading machines. You know, but when we're hand metering each individual round, you know, that opens up opportunity there on what propellants we can use.
Right.
And so it's super cool. I mean, the reserve really is giving the consumer, the end user, the ultimate in premium precision hand loaded ammunition that a guy at home, he's going to pick the best powder he can find. You know, most likely he's using, you know, extruded or super temp stable propellants, you know, ultra premium brass, you know, good primers, you know, excellent projectiles, tuning the load. You know, we across the board on development, we've seen single digit SDs on velocity, excellent accuracy. I mean, the accuracy we've hit on these across the board, all six of these has been unreal.
Yeah.
You know, that really is what makes the reserve stand out as well.
So I was going to say too, the something we can't hide is the shell quality. Some of these don't have a Barnes head stamp, and honestly, I think it's fine because like the 6.5 284, that's a Lapua shell.
Yep.
And granted, these can change, but
don't you mean Lapua?
Lapua.
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 That's how Greg's father pronounced it. Lapua. but yeah, we're using premium shells, Lapua in that configuration. We're using ADG and quite a few others, specifically 6.8 Western. And we've seen a difference in just, you know, your plain Jane off the shelf stuff. you know, shoots okay. And then you put that ADG shell, the Atlas development group, and it performs. It's awesome that great guys over there, they make a great shell, and we're using the best components available. I think retail for shells alone are probably over $2 a case.
Yeah, right. These are ultra premium brass. I mean, like you mentioned, ADG, that's what helps us get single digit SDs. That's what's helping us get great accuracy. It's the whole package, all four components working together. But yeah, these are components that the, you know, very enthusiast hand loader that's super critical, they're going out and selecting these,
right?
These makers of brass.
Well, and these primers. And that's important, right? Is like that you can sit there and say, I mean, you talked about Lapua ADG. You didn't talk about Norma, right? We're also using Norma brass. So like, again, we're using all very high quality. And these are the things that people, that if they were going to do, like the enthusiast is gonna recognize that we did pick the best options for every single load that we have. And to kind of go into load development, right? Like, I know that a lot of these, we were testing 3-4 different powders, right? To find the premium, like the optimal load for that cartridge to get the most temp stable, like you said, low SDs, everything else. I mean, yes, it might have only taken us, quote, 3 months to do it, but there was a lot being done in those 3 months once that we flipped on the switch to make this go.
Oh, yeah. A lot of work went into it behind the scenes. You know, lab guys, R&D guys, you know, Chris in the lab did a ton of work, you know, doing powder screening, hand loading these, you know, others as well. But you're right. You know, when we set a criteria, a performance criteria for a new ammunition product, you know, from a control perspective, we use test barrels, you know, looking at like accuracy, for example. You know, obviously we use PV barrels, a pressure velocity test barrel with a transducer to measure the chamber pressure. But when we're measuring accuracy, we control that out of a test barrel into a, and we use a linear bearing machine rest. We call it a return to battery rest. You know, we try to remove variables, right? It's not so much what can I do as a shooter? What can this gun do? It's, we want to remove the variables. What is the load doing? What is the bullet doing?
Right.
You know, we meet those criteria. We check the box. Okay, it passed out of the test barrel. But one cool thing with the reserve, and we do this with some of our other products too, but we really dove deep with reserve.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to shoot it out of as many rifles as we can in addition to that test barrel.
Right.
It's not, okay, it passed accuracy out of the test barrel. You know, we tried to gather as many rifles as we could, get a good sample size, and really dictate, because you mentioned, you know, we might have two or three good options of powder, and they all passed in a test barrel. But, you know, when we go look at five different rifles, you know, on average, powder A maybe shot better than powder B or C. And so that's what we went with.
Right.
Speaking of powders, too, really cool thing about this. As a hand loader, you can only get what you can get at the stores. And a lot of, right now, it's pretty hard to get some propellants. But as a bullet and ammo manufacturer, we have quite a bit more access to propellants that normally people can get, and then we have OEM specific propellants that really no one can get except OEM. Right. So we have a wide variety of powders that we can source and try out, and some of that stuff you can't get as a consumer.
Right. Do you want to talk about some of the accuracy that we were getting? I mean, because I know just from the little bit that I've shot, you know, a couple of these different cartridges, right?
Yeah.
Like, I was pretty damn impressive just like thinking, you know, I'm shooting this myself, right? We were shooting out to 700,000 yards, right? And it was just nailing. Again, I kind of go back to my 257. I mean, right now in my gun, you know, at 300 yards, I think I told you today, right? I shot like a 2-inch group, essentially, like 10-shot group, which is pretty wild to think. But yeah, I mean, I would love to hear, you know, just kind of some of the accuracy that we are receiving, like with this, and not just obviously, like you said, with test barrels.
Yeah. So in the gun side, and I will confess a little bit on the 6.5 284, I mentioned that was the one I was excited about. I may or may not have instructed Chris that I wouldn't sign off on a load unless it shot out of my gun. So there was that as the final judgment.
Nice.
But it shot awesome. You know, in the indoor range, I was shooting, and Chris shot groups, I shot groups, you know, multiple, even sub half inch groups out of my rifle. We went out to the range. I mean, you were there that day. We were first round impacts at 500 yards on a, you know, 10-inch steel plate.
Right.
You know, first round impacts at 700 yards on a steel plate. It just shoots unreal. You know, we're seeing across the board sub MOA performance.
Right.
I'll make mention 300 SOM. You know, I don't have a 300 SOM. That's one of the cartridges that lab was a little lacking on test rifles.
Yeah.
You know, we have a pretty impressive gun library.
Right.
Anyone who's been in our facility walks in and they open up the door. If you're a gun guy and you walk into the gun vault and there's literally hundreds of firearms and test barrels lined up.
Right.
It's pretty cool to see, but 300 SOM is one we were lacking. And so we actually, one of our lab techs, Jared Wall, brought in, he had a personal 300 SOM rifle.
Nice.
Just an old Remington 700.
Yeah.
Factory gun, you know, he bought 20 years ago, and they were shooting half inch groups out of that ding.
Wow.
With this reserve ammo.
Yeah. Those are 2-shot groups, right?
Yeah. No, you know, he even mentioned I was out on vacation and I was just following up with him today, and he was super excited about it. You know, he's like, I even shot one that was like 0.5, you know, let Chris shoot it, it's even better.
Yeah.
You know, but 3-shot groups was literally 0.4.
So you're saying even Andy can shoot like a minute of angle type group.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, of course.
Perfect.
Yeah. No. We haven't talked about the SOMs very much, right?
No.
In this episode so far. I don't mean to cut you off.
No. Well,
just I'm remembering, like, we got to talk about those after.
Yeah, I was just, you know, multiple five-shot groups with multiple shooters averaged out of that 700 rifle of Jared's. It was about a 0.6 or 0.7. You know, and that's nice. That's not one lucky group. You know, that was 3 or 4 5-shot groups from 2 different shooters.
Right.
That's pretty dang impressive. And that's a factory 700, you know, sporter weight rifle.
Yeah.
You know, with this ammo. So
nice. Yeah. Good performance.
Oh, yeah.
I think everything's going to be really good.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it just good performance. It's pretty damn special.
Special performance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about the SOMs. Like, Let's pretend that the listeners don't know anything about those cartridges.
Let's pretend Andy doesn't know anything about those cartridges.
So a little
he's
bit
deflecting a little bit here.
They're on to me.
Yeah. So Remington Short Action Ultra Mag is what the SOM stands for. Short Action Ultra Mag. They were introduced early 2000s. It really at that time was a short magnum craze. Winchester had introduced the WSM, the WSM. They also had the WSSM, the super short magnums, if you remember those. But really the goal was to get magnum performance in short action, handier, shorter rifles.
Yeah.
You know, so it was basically, can we get near 300 Win Mag performance out of a short action cartridge? And that's what the 300 SOM was introduced as. And then the 7 SOM was kind of the same, but for the 7M Rem Mag. It was kind of, can we get 7 Rem Mag performance in a short action? So Remington introduced the cartridges early 2000s. They've always had a loyal following. They never really took off because at the time, I would say it's a fair statement to claim Winchester, the WSM, kind of beat out the SOMs for popularity, especially across the board, different rifle makers, different ammo makers. But they've always kind of stuck around. And I think it's fair to say as well that the SOMs in the last at least 10 years have honestly probably maintained that cult following almost more on the custom side.
Yeah.
The guys having guns built for them, the guys who hand load.
Well, for example, like Adam Grunda was a big 7 SOM guy. Up until recently, he actually moved to a 7 PRC. And one of the whole reasons is because it was nearly impossible for him to get factory loaded ammo,
right,
like ready to go.
Yeah, and so to that point, if you're not a hand loader, or if you're a guy that maybe hand loads here or there, but you prefer to shoot factory ammo,
right.
I mean, I get it. Like, if you're an enthusiast, like, I get I'm a hand loader myself. I totally understand why you hand load.
Yeah.
But not everyone can hand load. Not everyone has the time. Not everyone has the desire. Not everyone has the knowledge wants to have the equipment.
Yeah. I was just going to say, like, you look at Adam, right? He lives in the middle of nowhere, Alaska. Like, getting components and everything is nearly impossible for him.
Right.
I mean, he might get something once a year and then, you know.
Right. And so I think when you're super close to it, and if you're that enthusiast hand loader, in your eyes, it's like, why wouldn't you hand load? But
right.
When you really take a step back and you look at the mass of shooters and hunters, most people don't.
Yeah.
Right. Most people don't hand load.
Yeah.
And so looking at the SOMs specifically, really that became kind of their fault, is eventually rifle manufacturers stopped chambering guns in them. The ammo support fell away.
Right.
You know, it's been very minimal what offerings have been on the market for factory loaded ammunition in both the 7 and the 300 SOM over the last 10 to 15 years.
You know what just dawned on me about this line, which I think is really cool, I just want to point it out, is like, aside from, you know, we might call it kind of niche offerings or special offerings, but just the timeline of like when these things came out originally.
Yeah.
Like you talked about the 257 Weatherby, right?
Right.
1944. Right, the SOMs in 2000, and then the 6.8 Western in the early 2020s, right, 21, 22.
Yep.
Like, it has like a little bit of every kind of generation. I think that's really cool. It kind of spans time in a really interesting way. I don't know.
That is cool, and you've got everything from rebated cartridge to short magnums to, you know, a belted double radius Weatherby. I mean, it's a little bit of everything.
All the way to your custom build, right? Yeah,
totally custom 300 with a 212.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unique. It's not just a, you know, classic cartridge type thing, or it's not just the new latest greatest. It's literally, we purposely thought out each one.
Yeah.
You know, like the SOMs, you brought up those. We wanted to offer, there's a lot of guys who have guns chambered in 7 SOM, chambered in 300 SOM.
That's just collecting dust.
Yep. Maybe they don't even shoot it anymore because they just can't get ammo.
Yeah.
You know, so this gives that shooter, that hunter, a great option that's going to be that hand load performance. You know, and he can break out that rifle and shoot it again, even if he's not a hand loader.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I'd love to see as people, as y'all start ordering and getting your hands on this stuff, like send in like groups,
right?
Send in your performance, like share it with us, you know, Barnes Nation.
Yeah. Between social media or emailing it to customer service or anything like that, right? Like we love to get that type of feedback, as well as, again, you know, dropping comments and telling us what you're most excited about in this line, as well as, like Mitchell said, tell us what you want to see in this line, right? That we could potentially, you know, have something by early next year or something, right? To kind of give us that time to really kind of source things and get things moving. I know Mitchell probably cringes every time that I say that.
You'll just keep putting like 2 months and...
Yeah,
I'll be forced to make it happen. Yeah. So
I was gonna say, that's the great thing. It's like, I may be bullied, but at the end of the day, I can make this.
Yeah, that's the thing. He pushed you to get bullied, so you can then bully him make it.
Yeah, it goes full circle.
Saying, I think the saying is, it flows downhill. Right?
Yeah. Stuff definitely does.
But that's the cool thing about this line. We can be so flexible.
Yeah.
We did all LRXs in this line, but that doesn't mean
minus
we can't.
The bore rider.
That's the LRX though. It's a special LRX.
Bore Rider LRX.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, we can do whatever we want.
Right.
We could.
I have a few ideas in my head of what's to come in my mind, but I could be totally off.
Just name them. See if it sticks.
I will say one right here that I'd love to hear feedback on. 375 Ruger, I think, would be awesome in the reserve line. With a 300 grain TSX and a solid.
Yeah. Now, that's not to say we're doing it. That is not a spoiler alert.
Yeah,
right? Not a spoiler. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
Right?
That's in my mind. It fits the line. I think it's one of those I'd love to offer. I don't think the quantities would ever justify us doing it in Vortex or Vortex Safari.
Right.
You know, but it's one that I think would be great to do in this reserve line. It's got a huge following. I know guys in Africa, guys in Alaska especially, love the 375 Ruger. Might pose a challenge being DTC and getting it to Alaska, but it's a great round.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not going to be a problem to California anymore.
Yeah.
Which is super exciting.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have followed this at all, but California, they just struck down that you no longer have to provide an FFL to ship ammo to a house, to a residential address.
Yeah, that's
great. So in the past, you've had to have an FFL or ship to an FFL or something like that. So it always prevented us from shipping ammo to California. Does not appear to be the case any longer.
Yeah.
So is that effective immediately, or?
My understanding is it's effective immediately. I know there are already retailers that are shipping to California. They turned it on this weekend. So that came out. Did that come out?
I think it was like Thursday, Friday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I texted you. You didn't respond. Shocking.
Yeah. I block your number.
But I mean, it's small, right? Cool. But I'm excited about it.
No, yeah, that's super exciting.
All right, how about, I named a few, the 300 Win Mag 208 grain LRX. Dale, what would you, if you could pick?
I don't know. I mean, we just answered two of the questions that I needed answers with 6.8 and 257. So I'm pretty happy right this second.
Okay. Don't look at me.
Andy, what would you do?
I will wait. I will withhold my comments until I hear more from the consumers.
There you go.
See, he's easy to bully, guys. Just yeah. create fake accounts and have five different comments.
Well, we've talked about the 6.8 Western is like people were making burner accounts.
Yeah, 100%.
How big could this possibly be? Yeah. But I think the more we dove into it, it's like, it could actually be quite large.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting with the 6.8 Western, right? Like we've kind of hit on it a little bit in an earlier podcast, right? But like, I think it's a great round all in all, right? Like it really does the job that it needs to do. It just kind of hit at such a impromptu, like bad timing for the release. Mm-hmm. And then with the 7 PRC right behind it. So we don't really know, you know, is that a huge following or is it just this itty bitty cult following that's really, really loud? So hopefully the people that are one listening to this podcast, watching things, you know, they'll respond. Hopefully all of those people that are hitting us up on Instagram right now, what feels like daily, are ready to make some orders.
Yeah. A couple things on the 6.8 that I'll make mention. One, and I've mentioned this before, going to what you just stated, if it was a 270 PRC, it probably would have been a different scenario. I hate to say that, but that's reality.
So now you're saying that it's a marketing thing?
It's a bit marketing. It's who is behind it. What kind of support it got. Yeah. I mean, you brought up timing. I think the timing was right there with 6.5 PRC and then the 7 PRC coming out.
But it also hit during COVID, right? Like I think it officially launched like November of 2020 or something. So then you look at like that first year and a half, we were off the tails of COVID. Plus, I think you'd still have to go back to with only Winchester and Browning loading ammo for it and them having very shortage of that ammo available made it even more difficult for it to really blow up.
Yeah.
But you look like Browning and Winchester are still making a ton of rifles and every single rifle that Browning introduces has 6.8 available in it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Back on that COVID comment, we looked at it back then. It was on our list. And I mean, how do you justify doing a new product when you can't keep up on literally anything else? We're just selling the crap out of everything you're back ordered. Why would you launch a new product that you can't support when you can't even support your own legacy product? So, yeah, it was bad timing and no one could have predicted that. And that's part of the reason why it didn't take off as much as it did. But
Yeah,
that's a good point. One thing I want to make mention, though, from just a performance shooting the 6.8, because I've been very familiar with the 6.8 since its introduction. We developed the 155, as we've already made mention. You know, we shot load data for it in the lab. You know, we obviously shot it and loaded for it when we did bullet development and bullet testing.
Yep.
But I hadn't personally done a ton of work with the cartridge. And going through the development for reserve, one thing that really stood out to me once I finally really started getting some real trigger time behind a gun at the range and in the tunnel off the bench, was just kind of what it offers. You know, it gives, I've had conversations with like Kagan, you know, we're Western hunters at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I've made mention multiple times, I love hunting suppressed.
Yeah.
Right. I think you guys are right there with me.
Yep.
You know, you go
Dale
through.
Dale has gone as far to say that if you don't hunt suppressed, you're not civilized.
That's true. I heard that.
And it's very funny because I'm pretty sure that the first two hunts this year, I will not be carrying suppressed gun.
Yeah.
So there is that.
Good point.
But I do think it is very uncivilized to not shoot suppressed.
You had a big muzzle brake on your Creedmoor on the bear hunt, and I was kind of mad at you.
I know, because I didn't bring
any ear protection.
What's weird is that I could not take that. It was that Christensen, and it literally, I could not get the brake off the barrel.
You got to start working out.
It wasn't that. Trust me.
But yeah, with the suppressor, you know, everyone knows, you go throw a suppressor on a 26-inch barrel and go try to hunt, it's not that fun to carry around. No.
So you did that on the bear hunt.
How'd that work out?
It was long. I had it in a sling when I was coming down the mountain, and this is when I went to Idaho, and the guy stopped me. He's like, what are you
what are you shooting?
That thing is, it's like a cannon.
It's a 50 cal.
Because it was a long suppressor and then I had a 26 inch barrel and it was catching on every tree. Yeah. And
so you have a long action with a 26 inch barrel with a long suppressor. This thing's like 10 feet long.
Yeah.
And it's sticking above, you know, catching on trees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, obviously that's what's led the trends of shorter barrels. You shorten your barrel, you lose velocity.
Right.
Right. You look at hunting, you got to maintain enough velocity to have effective downrange performance.
Right.
And so that's really what kind of jumped out with the 6.8 Western is it's pretty dang effective with even a 22-inch barrel, even 20-inch barrel. We're still getting good velocity. But the other thing is, you know, obviously 7 PRC. We've talked a lot about it. Our 160 grain LRX is crazy popular. Awesome performance. And it's not unmanageable recoil by any means. But I've been doing quite a bit of shooting with the 7 PRC 160 grain in a fairly lightweight rifle, you know, 20 inch carbon stock. I mean, this is a 6 pound rifle, you know, with a can. But if I go shoot a 7 PRC off the bench, suppressed, and a 6.8 Western, you know, obviously one's 277 diameter, one's 284 diameter bullet, one's a 155 grain, one's a 160 grain, similar velocities. The 7 PRC's got the performance edge.
Yeah.
It's pushing a 160. Faster than the 6.8's pushing 155, but it's within reason.
Yeah, I was going to say that's got to be within probably 100 foot per second, right? It is. Like out of the muzzle. So
it is exactly. You're within 100 feet.
Yeah, I was going to say, like at that point, if you were shooting a regular 24 inch barrel and then a 24 inch barrel, or let's just say 22 and 22 or something like that, right? Like you're probably going to get almost similar ballistics like coming out of the barrel. And you're only losing 5 grains, right? And slightly smaller diameter. So, I mean, at that point, it's pretty damn similar.
Right, and that's kind of what stood out to me is this is pretty awesome option for a guy that's wanting good long-range performance on game, that's still flat shooting, still has good velocity, very manageable recoil.
Right.
You know, and, you know, if maybe you're shooting like a 6.5 Creedmoor, but you want to take a step up in performance, you know, I think that's where the 6.8 Western with the 155, it kind of gives you that next step up without going all the way to like a 7 PRC 160 grain and above, where now you're dealing with a little bit different level of recoil.
Well, and that's what's super interesting to me, right, is that it's basically the very, very similar performance-wise, but the recoil is very noticeably different. That 6.8 Western has so much less recoil than a standard 7 PRC does.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's what stood out to me, and I was kind of like, oh. I never really thought about a 6.8 for myself until having shot quite a bit with the development of this. And also it's like, oh, maybe there's a 6.8 in my future.
Well, that kind of leads me to, I think that we can start to kind of wrap this thing up. We're at just over an hour and 8 minutes. If you were going to pick one of these cartridges to hunt with, what are you going to hunt with this year?
I was going to ask that question.
Too bad.
Nice job.
Okay, you get to pick.
You answer. I'm thinking.
I think I would do the Super Wisdom. I just think that's such a cool, like when I first started here.
Do you have a gun for that?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but like when, so I'll backtrack a little bit, right? I obviously love the 6.8 Western. To me, it's kind of the star of this line for now, just because of all the pomp and circumstance behind it on social media, right? Like that's the one I'm excited about. But if I were going to go hunt, I'd want to do the Super Wisdom. When I first started here, it's like when all the Vortex Nation stuff was coming out, Greg was like, hey, watch this, catch up on it, this and that. It's really bad feedback. But that's the one I think that I would be the most excited about doing and using, just because it's such a unique offering. I know I was sitting back away because it was feedback.
It was down here.
Okay.
It was the new and improved metal
that
covers things.
Yeah.
Also makes feedback when you move.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, getting a little bit better every day.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
But that to me, the Super Wisdom is like the one where I'm like, maybe I should go after that.
Yeah. It'd be fun for you to build a custom rifle that would expand your ballistic gun nut knowledge.
Yeah. Totally.
Right there.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, just, you know, getting a little bit more, a little bit better.
But it's cool because I think Andy's a great example. You're not really a big hand loader. You know, you're getting more and more into it. But you can now get that performance.
Yeah.
You know, it's not crazy to think, hey, I'm gonna go have a gun built to shoot this ammo.
Right.
You know, it's super doable.
Right.
Get a long action chamber and 300 Wisdom. You know, any rifle builder, any gunsmith will do that for you.
Yeah.
1 in 8 twist. You can go build a ultimate long range hunting rifle in 300 Wisdom, purchase the reserve 300 Wisdom 212. You don't have to hand load to do that, you know, anymore with this offering.
Right.
You know, and so even if you're not that enthusiast hand loader, you can now get that level of performance and say, hey, I'm going to go build a gun, or I'm going to have a gun built around this round specifically.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mitchell, which one are you using this year?
I'm going to copy Andy.
No, you can't.
Well, there's only so many choices. You're gonna, by the time we get to Greg, well,
there's 4 people.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to be left with nothing. I'm going to answer next.
No. I'm stealing Andy's.
I'm an
elk guy. I like shooting elk. I think the 212 bore rider, shooting at distance and getting a little bit of weight, getting a ton of efficiency with that bore rider design.
Are you going to make Jess shoot it for her elk hunt? No?
It might be too complicated for her if she had a single feed.
Is there anything you can't, like you wouldn't take that hunting for?
No.
What do you mean? Like 300 super wisdom specifically?
Yeah,
like the application,
yeah.
So if you have a short action and you don't have a standard or you don't have an extended mag box, you would have to single feed it,
right,
which could be an issue if you were in a hunt where you think you would need a fast follow-up shot. You can be pretty dang quick. I've done it with a 300 rum before, and you're dang near as fast. But if you're worked up and have a buck fever like Luke Bryan or something, and you're fiddling with it, it might be a little tough to get in there.
But from like a species animal perspective.
No, I mean, it's overkill for like small game.
Yeah, like whitetails.
Yeah. You know, but
okay. So it's not varmint. Dead.
Yeah, not a varmint. not a varmint cartridge.
I mean, you could.
Why not? No, but it's
dead.
It's
dead is dead.
Dead is dead. I mean, I've had family members shoot mule deer, you know, with a 212 bore rider, not out of a 300 Wisdom, but yeah. I hand load that actually out of a 300 Norma myself. I've killed elk with it. It really, like Mitchell made mention, he's an elk guy. That's where it really shines, kind of
the
ultra long.
Is that what it's designed for, really?
I mean, deer and elk and, you know, moose, but really it's the long range. I mean, it's when, if you're serious, because you can always argue the ethics piece of long range hunting.
Yeah.
Right.
For a good reason. You know, but I've said this before and it's hard to do, but if you pull the ethics out and you just look at the science behind it, the technology, the design, that bullet will expand. It will have weight retention. It has good accuracy. It has an insane BC. I mean, this is a 0.705 G1.
So that's the highest out of any bullet we make is 705 in that bullet.
Yeah, this is a 0.367 G7 BC.
Okay.
You know, you start to think about that being launched at 2,800 feet per second. You know, it's efficient. You now look at downrange numbers. Look at 5, 6, 7, 800, even beyond. And you can see where, if you're serious about long-range hunting, that's where the 212 bore rider and the 300 Wisdom as a launch vehicle start to stand out and make sense. Now, if you're like, hey, I'm going to shoot whitetail and mule deer and antelope and maybe elk, and I'm not going to shoot past 400 yards, it doesn't mean you still can't find reason to shoot that. But there's plenty of other options.
Yeah.
As well.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll let you go.
Well, I have already killed game with a 212 bore rider. So even though it's awesome and I would pick that as well.
He's not going to be a follower.
And a 6.5 284.
And I may have killed an animal or two
can't
or more
use that.
With 6.5 284 and a 127 LRX. Killed plenty with that.
So basically, we should have called this the Greg's Reserve line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Greg's line.
Yeah.
Greg's
exactly.
line. I'm going to go with 6.8 Western, 155.
Nice.
I have yet to kill anything with a 6.8 Western or a 155 LRX. And I'm pretty sure I've used basically every other bullet on this list to kill something at some point. Not necessarily cartridge, but bullet.
Right.
And so, 6.8 Western 155.
Perks of working here for 18 years.
Yeah.
No kidding. No kidding.
Okay.
You?
Oh, you actually want me to answer? I know that most of the time you really don't care about my answer. So, so I'm going to use 257 for the sheep hunt. Might use it for the caribou hunt. And then I'm definitely going to use 6.8 Western for the mountain goat hunt as well. So excited to do that. I want to use some of these other ones. I don't have any rifles. I guess I need to build more rifles.
Yeah.
Or snatch something out of the lab.
There you go.
That's always an option.
Yeah. Do we have a rifle here for the boar rider?
The lab does not.
Yeah.
We have multiple employee guns
that have been built.
Yeah. Okay. That have built them. And that, I think it is worth mentioning if you guys don't care, if we take 5 minutes and cover that.
Yeah.
Kind of 212 history. I know you asked about the Vortex Nation side of it, but to cover the Barnes side of it, kind of the story behind the boar rider.
It's a unique one. So yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. It's pretty unique. Mitchell talked a little bit about the technical background of the boar rider bullet. And I think we'll have some pretty great, detailed descriptions on our website to explain that cartridge in the reserve line and the specifics behind it. But really where it started was we were looking to build the ultimate high BC copper long-range projectile. Mm-hmm. And we looked at the boar rider design. You know, obviously that's what allowed us to get away from the TSX grooves. They're there for a reason. They help with accuracy, reduce fouling. This obviously has less bearing surface by design, where the only portion that's contacting is the driving band that's at full 308 diameter. The majority of that projectile is riding the bore right at 300 diameter. And so that allows us to get really long, sleek, high BC without a lot of bearing surface. The challenge comes in at you have a bullet that is incredibly long, right? As you can tell there.
Not only long, it has to sit outside the case.
Exactly. That's a good point. You know, it's fixed, more or less. It is a fixed seating depth. This isn't a bullet that you get to mess around with distance off the lands and I'm going to try different depths. You seat the case mouth to the edge of that driving band.
Got it.
That's pretty much it. You need sufficient neck tension. You can't go up over that because now you're losing that. You're not at full diameter. And so really it was actually designed for as a prototype projectile for a military application. And it was really built around the 300 Norma. But in a specific platform that had 4-inch magazines. And so at that time, we built the bullets. It was a prototype. We never launched it to the market. And, you know, we understood the performance of it as lab guys, you know, Barnes employees. Here's this copper bullet that expands down to literally 1,500 feet per second.
Wow.
You know, and has a BC over 0.7.
Yeah.
You know, you do the math. You don't have to launch that thing at 3,500 feet per second to get good performance. You just have to launch it at, it's more about efficiency, right? 27 to 2,800 feet per second is enough muzzle velocity to get really good performance past 500 yards, including bullet expansion, reliable bullet expansion with weight retention. So you get the best of both worlds. But really it was limited. How do you shoot this thing? Not everyone has a super high end, very expensive, you know, custom or military sniper type system with a 4-inch magazine.
Yeah.
So really it was a few of us lab guys that started messing around and we were kind of like, we want to shoot this bullet. So I'd actually built a 300 Norma. I built it on a 700 long action that had an opened up bolt face for that case diameter. I'd done a wide extended box so I could seat them out to 3.9. I mean, really put a lot of work into this gun that probably doesn't make sense for most people that don't really have a machine shop kind of at their disposal to do all that machining. But I went out and hunted with it. I killed an elk at like 550 yards with it that year. Kagan, he decided, you know, hey, I'm gonna use the 300 Wisdom as a parent or as the kind of case.
Okay.
But he came up with the idea of let's put on a long action so I can mag feed it. Obviously barrel with a 1-8 twist. One of the beauties of this design, it doesn't require a custom reamer. It doesn't require some custom chamber. It's a Sammy spec reamer. And that bullet really fits that profile, you know, there's that cartridge chamber fit is ideal. Good alignment. And it just really worked. And so there's a handful. I mean, there's probably, I don't know, at least half a dozen or more Barnes employees that went out and built these 300 Super Wisdoms, if you will.
That's cool.
Over the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where it started.
Right.
And then that's obviously gets back to what I already talked about, where the Vortex Nation guys took off with it. But pretty unique.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
What do you got?
I'm done.
You're done.
This is the part where Mitchell does his dance.
Oh, okay. Mitchell Redeker.
I could try to floss or something.
The seated floss.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we appreciate everyone's time today on the podcast as well as listening. We hope that everyone's as excited as we are about this launch of the Barnes Reserve. It is available now on barnesbullets.com. So please go check it out. And yeah, we'd love to hear your feedback and interested to see what the consumer thinks with what we can do here. So
yeah, and with this and in really any product, right? If you buy from the website or have used it, definitely appreciate you going on and putting up a review, right? I think we generate emails that go out after you buy it, but yeah, reviews are huge for us as well. So.
And talking about that, right? I mean, we didn't really talk about price, but you know, any order $150 or more gets free shipping, right? Which is kind of cool. I think that getting the reserve line is probably going to get you there pretty quick between the hats and the shirts and all that type of stuff, right? You can buy a box of this and buy a shirt and you're pretty dang close to it. So yeah, go check it out at barnesbullets.com and thanks for listening.